Okay, Rabbi Sai, today Daf is Daf Yud Tes. We're going to start a little bit earlier on Yud Ches Amid Beis. As you recall, we are in the middle of the sugya related to the Big Day Kahuna. How did we get into the sugya? Because at the beginning of the Perek it says that there are a number of individuals who are unqualified to do the Avoida, and if they do the Avoida is Pasul. And one of them was a mechusser begotten. So, therefore, the Gemara got a little bit off on a tangent discussing the Big Day Kahuna. So, one of the things that the Gemara said, if you're on Yud Ches Amid Beis, the sixth wide line, the Gemara brought a braisa, Tana Rabbanan Bad, it says in the Parsha, in fact, we leaned it yesterday, as you know, it says, Bezois Yevaharna Akkoidish, something ben boker, that's not the pasuk I'm looking for. Let's look it up the pasuk so we quote it correctly instead of just haphazardly. In the beginning of Parshas Achrei Mois, the zoyis yovi harnal kodesh befar ben boker the chatzav yaili oila ksoinis bad kodesh yilbash. He wears a ksoinis of bad. Or michlasei vad michlasayim of bad. You see that the four begodim were all made out of bad. The question is, what is the definition of bad? And the Braisa told us, shel butz. Butz means out of linen, or out of originally flax, which was turned into linen. How do we know that in fact bad means linen? Maybe the Gemara said, maybe bad means wool. So Gemara gave a couple of answers. We'll go to the answer of Ravina Amar Mei Hocha. That's 6-7 lines from the bottom of the Amid. Ravina says, I know for a fact that when it says in the Torah, bad, it means linen or flax, because it's a pasuk in Yechezkel. The pasuk in Yechezkel tells us how the Kahanim would dress. Pare fishtim yiu al roisham. The word pare over here means the mitznefes, or the mikbaas that they wear on their heads, is made out of pishtim. Or michlasei pishtim yu al masneim, and the michlasayim, those also have to be made out from pishtim. Layachiru bayoza. We're going to focus on layachiru bayoza in a moment, but what we see from this pasuk is that Yechezkel is telling us that the Big Day Kahuna were made out of pishtim. So now we know that the word bad in the Torah means pishtim, means out of linen. Omri Ravashel Ravina, vohad the osi Yecheskel minolan, from the times that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Torah, until Yecheskel wrote his Sefer, that was quite a period of time. So how do they know in between that bad means pishtim? So to the Tamach, let me ask you another question. Hodi Amrav Chizda, the following halacha describing the disqualification of certain koyhanim doesn't say it in the Torah, but learned it from Yechezkel. What does it say in Yechezkel? That if you have chas v'sholom a koyin who is an orel leiv, an orel leiv, explains Rashi, means that he's unfortunately a bad guy. Rashi even refers to him as a Rasha. In other words, he is, Chas v'Sholom, a mumar, a bad guy. Or Orel Basar is a wonderful person, but unfortunately he is an Orel, he doesn't have a bris, because Mesu Echav Machmas Mila. These two individuals, Layovil Mikdashi, unfortunately they cannot come to Beis Hamikdash to go and do the Avoda. Now this pasuk it doesn't say in the Torah. It's a pasuk in Yechezkel. And you want to ask the same question, Achibo Yechezkel mean no one. Until Yechezkel came on the scene and wrote this down, how did we know? We had this Bekabola, meaning typically, Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai, even though it's not written Befeirish in the Torah. And then Yechezkel came along, and not only this, but many other halachas involving the Beis Hamikdash in bringing Karbonos, Big Day Kahuna, etc., although it doesn't say it explicitly in the Torah, Chazal knew it all until the time of Yechezkel, based on Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai. Then Yechezkel wrote it down for the first time, so now it becomes part of the Torah Shebichsav. So, Gemara, just like I answered that question about the Orel Lev and the Orel Basar, Hachanami Gemara Gemirullah, Everybody knew that bad means butz, it means linen. Yecheskel was the one that eventually codified it in writing and said, oh, it's Pishtin Rabbeisai. So that's, again, the tail end of the sugya of yesterday regarding the Big Day Kuna. And now the Gemara just focuses on the last three words of that pasuk, which it says, my lo yachkaru bayosa. What does that mean, yachkaru bayosa? Yachkaru comes from the Lashon of being choger, which means to gird your loins. One of the Hebrew words for a belt is a chagura. So liyachru bayoza, when you are girding, don't bayoza, do it in a place where people are mezia. Mezia means perspire. So when you put on the avnet in the Beis HaMikdash, make sure that you don't put it in sweaty, perspiring places. Can you identify what places those are? Amar Rabbi liyachru b'mokim shemezia. Like we just explained, where a person sweats, he decided, like it says in the Brisa, "Kishem choygren and choygrim leilamata mi masneim, v'le mi lamala mi atzileim." When you put on the avnet, Rabbeisai, koyhanim, make sure you don't put it beneath your loins. Rashi explains that we're talking about people that are slightly overweight, and therefore their stomach folds down a little bit onto their waist, and therefore there is a fold in the person's skin or the person's flesh, and as a result, in that fold, it gets sweated up because it's not out to the ear. So make sure don't put the avnet right over there, because then the avnet will be in a smelly spot. It itself might become full of perspiration, but even if it doesn't, nevertheless, it's not considered a bekavadika spot. Don't put it there. Also, lelamal miatzilein, not higher than elbow length. Because as you go above the elbow, as we know, there too you have a fold in the body. The fold is between the upper arm and between the chest area where the upper arm goes and is flush against the flesh. And therefore there too it becomes a place of potential sweat and perspiration. Don't put the gartel, don't put your avnet over there. Ella, where's the best place? In the middle, keneged atzili yadena, with the top of your tes omid aleph, put it parallel to the ends of your elbow, so that it goes directly on the stomach, and not in one of the folds, either upper folds or lower folds. That's liyachkeru bayoza. The Gemara tells us an interesting story. Omer Vashi, Omeli Huna Barnosin, Huna Barnosin told me, Zimna chodahava keimna, Kameid Izgador Malka. One time I was standing in front of the Melech Izgador. Rashi says he was a Persian king. V'hava medalli haminoi. And my haminoi, hemuno, you have in the Gemara a few times, is an avnet, is a belt. And that belt was a little bit higher up than the elbow room. It was higher up on the body. And what did Igadir Malka do? And he, the Melech, came over and did me a toiva, and he pulled down the avnet so that it should be lower down. Not necessarily that he was concerned about the halacha of liyachkeru bayoza, but rather he felt that he was not dressed in a dignified manner, that you had the belt all the way on top. Even today, if you would see a person wearing his belt on top of his chest, people would kind of start smiling. And if you happen to be a friend, you'd go over to him and tell him politely, you might want to put your belt down a little bit because it looks a little bit strange. However, Izgadar Malka was even nicer, and he didn't even whisper anything. What did he do? He came over personally and pulled the belt down to an appropriate place on that person's body. V'omalin, he said, we say about Yidin, and could be Huna Barnosin, perhaps is also a Koyinit, the Gemara doesn't tell us, but he says about you, Klal Yisrael, it says, Mamleches Koyhanim V'goy Kodesh Ksiv. You have to go in a very, if you're a Mamleches Koyhanim, by definition you are royalty. If you're royalty, then you have to go and go in a royal way. Now, I see that Rashi says, and in fact, apparently he did know this Gemara. If you look on the fourth line of Rashi, Oma Melechus Kehanim Psiv Bechu Utzrichem Atem Linig Atzvachem B'Teferish Kehanim. You have to walk around with the glory and the majesty in the dignified way that Kehanim walk. Techsiv Bechu L'Yachre B'Yaza. You know what it says in the Pasuk. You can't have your Avnet, your belt all the way up there because it's next to a place of perspiration. And just like it's not nice to do that for the Avodah Zakahuna, even walking down the street, you shouldn't have your avnet so high up and pull it down. He pulled it down for him. So that was the story. Afterwards, when I came in front of a meimar, says Huna Barnosin, Omali, a meimar said to me, Yikayim Becha, you have now had a fulfillment of the pasuk Vahoyu Melochim Oimnayich, that Laosalovoy, when Meir Hashem were soon going to be released from this terrible Golus, then the kings are going to be your Oimnayich. What means Oimnayich? The word Oimnayich is from the same Shoresh as we find in Megillus Esther, that it says about Mordechai, Vahi Oimein Es Hadasa. Oimein means he was the one that raised her and nurtured her. Here too, the Pasuk is telling us, the Melochim are going to raise us, so to speak. They're going to be like our housekeepers and workers and nurses that are going to help us out. Here you already have that kiyum now, that a melech came and helped you out by lowering the belt to a proper place on the body. Oh, so you already have the kiyum of that future Pasuk Mietesha. So with this we have concluded yesterday, and I hope, Brother Shai, you're happy that we went over. You're very welcome. So now, based on that, let's continue on, and we're going to continue talking about the inyan of Bigdei Kahuna. However, this Gemara that we're going to start right now is not focusing so much on Bigdei Kahuna, it's really focusing more on Dinim of Shabbos. In fact, it's a Mishnah in Masechtas Erevin, and it tells us about those things that you can and cannot do on Shabbos. And one of them is about being koirich oleha gemi. Gemi literally means a reed. However, in this connection, it really means more like a modern-day terms, more like a band-aid. So it tells us, Tanan Hashem, it says, Masechtas Erevin, koyin shaloka betzboi. What happens if a koyin has a maka, presumably it's bleeding from his finger? Koirich oleha gemi ba-migdash avaloi ba-mdini. He's allowed to go and put on such a bandage in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, but not Bamdina, not outside the Beis HaMikdash. Anything having to do with refuah on Shabbos gets you into the potential issue of Shchikas Samamonim. Shchikas Samamonim means in the good old days when you wanted a medicine, you didn't go to the local pharmacy and get a closed bottle which had in it 100 pills or 50 pills or whatever. You would have to do is you'd have to go and take the raw ingredients, you would go and crush them, and then you'd mix them together, and then you'd drink it presumably with some water, and that would go and give you the refuah. The actual Shchikas Samamonim gets you into potential problems of Hilchas Shabbos. Shchikas Samamonim would be part of the Malach of Tochein. Tochein, as you know, means grinding and crushing, etc. So this is prohibited on Shabbos. So now the actual Krichas Gemi itself doesn't involve Shchikas Samamonim. However, if you're going to go and put this Band-Aid on, somebody may say, Band-Aid without Mercurochrome, without iodine, or without these Samamonim is really not going to do so much for you. So therefore, you could come, it's a Gzeira, Shema Yishchik Samamonim. Because you're wearing this Band-Aid and you have this Maka, you might come to manufacture your own ointment on Shabbos, which is prohibited. And so therefore on Shabbos, don't wear such a Band-Aid. Obviously, we're not talking about a Choyle Sheyesh by Sakana. We're talking about a much more minor type of situation. So Shabbos, be careful. But in the Migdash, you're allowed to go and put on such a Band-Aid. Why? Because of the famous rule of Ein Shvuz B'Migdash. Since this whole is only a Gzeira. Putting on the reed itself, you didn't do anything. But since it might come Liday, putting on such samamonim, so they were geyser outside the Beis Mikdash, but not in the Beis Mikdash. Oh, very good. Vim lahoitzi mimen adam, if this gemi is not just a band-aid, but you put it on similar to a tourniquet, where the purpose of the tourniquet of this Gemi is also that blood should be released. Maybe there was, he was worried about an infection, maybe some dirt got into the wound, so he wants the blood to come out. Whatever, you don't have to speculate why he put the Gemi on, but it's im lohoitzi men adam, kan vekan osir. Then everybody would agree it's osir, even in the Beis Mikdash, because says Rashi, this is no longer exeira, this is an issa d'oraisa. What's issa d'oraisa? Rashi says he's making a chabura, which is part of the malach of Choyvel. Choyvel is one of the Lamitas malachas in Masechta Shabbos. That being the case, it's also Diraisa, you're not allowed to put on such a gemi if the purpose is to draw out blood. Okay, Kan Vekanos. Now, as you can tell, so far we haven't mentioned anything about Big De Kahuna. But now we're going to have three mandi. Yes?
Isn't that Kamachatita?
That's the Gemara is going to deal with that momentarily. Baruch Hashem, I'm glad that you thought of it. If you skip down five or six lines, do you see what it says in the line? There's an Aleph of the Bach. Right after the Aleph, what does it say? V'tepeklei? Mishim Chatzitza. Right. You're on mute, but I could see from your lips that you're, in fact, putting it, you're on mute. That is the Chatzitza between our ability to hear the sound and the sounds that you are uttering as you're speaking. Anyway, so bottom line is you're 100% right. We have chatzitza potential issues, which we will deal with momentarily. Izhakti Yemara. So we're going to have three mandiyamim. Rabbi Yehuda, Bered, Rabbi Chia. Then we're going to have Rabbi Yochanan. And finally, Rava Omer, Rav Chisda. To complicate matters slightly, after we go through these three mandiyamim, we're going to have a Lishna Achrina with slightly different positions of these three, as you'll see momentarily. So we start off with Amr Buda Breda Bechia. These are all Amay Royim, and they're all trying to explain or add or expand on this Mishnah. Amr Buda Breda Bechia. Loishana, when did we say that you're allowed to go and wear this Gemi Ba Mikdosh? That's if you're talking about a Gemi. Aval Tzilzil Cotton, Avita Begodim, if you put on a Tzilzil Cotton. What is a tzilzil cotton? Rashi says, a bendel. In Yiddish they would say, a bendele. Bendele means like a small little, in this case, like a small ring. Not a ring that would go all around the finger, as we'll see, because if so, we're going to get into a chatzitza problem. But it means something similar to a band-aid. However, it's a dover choshuv, as the Gemara is going to tell us in another few lines. So perhaps this would also be used maybe as jewelry, not just for medical purposes. So don't put such a tzilzil cotton on your finger. Why? Because this would be yitr begotten. What means yitr begotten? Since the Torah says that a koyin hedjit is only supposed to wear four begotten, and we learned yesterday in the Gemara that if in addition to the four begotten, if the koyin wore additional begotten during the avodah, even if he was wearing a talis cotton, that is yitr begotten. It's prohibited. We haven't even had a discussion. What about, we're going to have a discussion of what about tefillin. We're going to talk about on the bottom. So, point is, you got to be careful about anything that you wear in addition to the four begodim. And if you're wearing such a tzilzil cotton, that's considered to be yitr begodim. You're now wearing five begodim instead of four. No good for a kohen to do that during the avodah. That is Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Yochanan Amar. I respectfully disagree. The only time that you have a problem with yitzah begodim is in a mokay begodim, meaning where the kohen wears his four begodim, such as the one that is most encompassing is the ksoinus, which is basically the whole body. So you have to make sure not to have any yitzah begodim on the mokay of the beggar. Absolutely, the mokay begodim, if you're wearing it on a place where normally there is no beged, says Rashi, the etzba that we're talking about, after all, the focus of this mission is the etzba. You don't wear on your etzba michnasayim, you don't go and wear iksoinis, you don't wear an avnet, you don't wear a mikbas, so therefore you could go and adorn your finger any way you want, it's not a problem, says Rabbi Yochanan. Shlemakam godim, loy have yitur. Frey Timara, I can understand that there's no yitzah begodim because there's no beged miyuchad, no special beged that you go and put on the finger. I agree. However, take the mishum chatzitza. What's a chatzitza? This is presumably what Barry was asking about before, that if the Kohen is going to wear something on his finger, his finger is part of his hand. And what is the hand doing? It's the whole day it's busy with the avoida. It's holding either the clay shores, or, for instance, maybe he's doing a kmitza with his fingers, or something similar. So then we have a chatzitza between his hand and between the avoida. And Rashi says, it says in the pasuk, v'lokach ha-koyin, the lokach ha-koyin means either the dam in a mizrik, or he's taking the kmitz in his fingers, whatever the lokach ha-koyin is, and therefore we learn from that it's got to be kabbalah bi'atzmoy shel koyin. It's got to be that the hand itself. You're not allowed to wear a glove, for instance, when you're doing the avoida. It has to be directly in that person's hand. So if he's wearing something around his finger, don't I have a problem of a chatzitza? And for the Gemara. Yeah, question?
That's a very good point.
Very good point, especially if he's pointing with his finger. Zok the Gemara, two terutzim. Either one is talking about bismoil, that he has this bendela, his gemi, on his left hand instead of on his right hand. And as we learned before, the Rabbanan hold that you have to do all the avoida with your right hand. We had a dissenting opinion of Reb Shimon, but the Gemara is assuming we're going according to the Rabbanan, that hold that has to be a right hand, so on your left hand you can put anything you want. Or it's talking about that this gemi that he's putting on is not the makam avoida. Now what means shloim makam avoida, says Rashi? On the gav hayad, in other words, not on the front of the fingers, in the palm side, but on the back side. Ah, so therefore this gemi, or this tzilzil cotton that we were talking about a moment ago, if you can go and keep them on the outside of the finger, says Rabbi Yechon, then you don't have a problem. There's no problem al chatzitza, because you don't go and put the kmitza on the other side, you don't hold the kmitza on the back of the fingers, you only hold it in the front of the fingers. So then, you'd have to be sure, so since we're talking about a tzilzul cotton, assuming we mean something similar to a ring, it would have to be only on one side. It can't surround the finger totally, because then of course that would be a chatzitza. So you're going to tell me that the ring will fall down? It must have had some sort of adhesive that it would stay on the finger. Anyway, next.
Velcro.
Velcro, exactly. Had Velcro on the finger and Velcro on the bendela. Very good. Okay, so what do we had so far? We had so far, Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbechia says, make sure you're talking about a gemi. That's okay. But tzilzil cotton would it be a yitra begotten. Well, Rabbi Yochanan says that shaloi b'makab begotten, which is what we're talking about an etzma, loy have a yitra. You can put on even a tzilzil cotton, no problem. Just be careful that you don't get into chatzitza issues, so put it on your left hand, or do it shaloi b'makab avoida, but there's no yitra begotten, even though this tzilzil cotton is a psadober choshev, a chweis of like a shtickle jewelry or something. This is gunish mit gunish, it's not yitra begotten. Azei zogt Rabbi Yochanan. Upligi the Rava. However, this last memra of Rabbi Yochanan argues with Rava. The Amar Rava, Amar Rav Chisda. B'makim begodim, if you're talking about where normally you have your beged, for instance, the ksoinis goes up to your wrist. Afilinima achas chitzetis. Even if there's one extra thread in between your flesh, the skin of the koyin, and the beged, it's a chatzitza. The beged has to go directly on the skin of the kohen. Shaloi b'makom begodim. If you too much shaloi b'makom begodim, for instance, on the back of the hand, what's the din? Shaloi shchoitetzos. If what we're talking about is a significant piece of fabric, what is significant? At least 3 by 3 etzbois. An etzba is roughly, let's say, an inch. So you'd have 3 by 3 inches. Anything less than that, einun choytetzois, is gunish mit gunish. So the shear is a shear of 3 by 3. Zokti Mara, the last mandiyam was Rav Amrav Chisda. Ad Rabbi Yochanan vade pliga. Ad Rabbi Yochanan yavade argues. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan said, shloi b'mokim b'godim loi have a yitur. If it's a place where normally there's no beged, like the back of the hand, what's, or even the whole left hand, what's it in? It's like Mamagadim. There's no yitur. You can go and add whatever you want in terms of rings and bandages and tzilzil cottons and bendelas. No issue. Said Rav Rechos, no. Even shloif makim begodim, it depends what the size is. If it's 3 by 3 or more, you're in trouble. Now, when it says sholish or sholish choytzitzoyz, Rashi points out that the word choytzitzoyz is really not totally appropriate, because since it's shloif makim begodim, it's not choytzitz in anything. But since the first part of Rav Rechos makim begodim nimachas choytzitzes, he continues using the same terminology, choytzitzoyz. Rashi says, really, it would be preferable that the Gemara should use the expression, have a yitur begodim. Sholish al sholish is not choytzitzoyz, yitur begodim. If you look at the Rashi, sholish al sholish choytzitzoyz, Rashi is just 2 lines above where we are in the Gemara. So Rashi, sholish al choytzitzoyz, kaloimer, have a yitur begodim. It means it's an extra beged, which is problematic, because instead of 4 begodim, you got 5 begodim. V'ayde denokat nima'achas v'mokim begodim is choytzitz. So he uses the lishon l'chatzitza, the shaychaba. There it makes sense to talk about a chatzitza of that extra thread. Nokinam maskana lishon l'chatzitza. But really what he means to say is sholish al sholish is yitr begodim. So therefore says he might add Rabbi Yochan avadei pligit. There's no question that we have a machloikis between Rava Amar of Chizda and Rabbi Yochanan. Because Rabbi Yochanan says, once you're dealing in territory of Shloim Mokim Begodim, Yitur Begodim doesn't apply. Zero. Don't worry about it. Don't think about it. Mashenkin Rav Chizda says, it depends how small. If you're talking about like a small little gemi, a small little bendela, it's goodish. But once you hit 3 by 3, that's already a Dover Chashiv. And therefore, that would be Yitr Begodim after Rav. And therefore, says Yimad Rabbi Yechon of Adipliga. Rav Amr of Chizda is obviously arguing with Rabbi Yechonah. The question is, Ad Rabbi Yehuda Bered Rabbi Chia Mi Lemed Depliga. Does he argue with Rabbi Yehuda Bered Rabbi Chia? Because Rabbi Yehuda Bered Rabbi Chia said before that even a tzilzil cotton have a Yitr Begodim. And Rabbi Yehuda Bered Rabbi Chia is going on the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a koin shaloka be'etzba'oi. An etzba, a finger, is a mokoim, which is not a mokoim begodim. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda Bered Rabbi Chia says, if you have a tzilzil cotton, boom, you're a yitr begodim guy, and you're possible to do the avoida. Take it off. You have to have 4 big tikkun and not 5 big tikkun. But Rabbi Mokhida said, no, it's only once you get to the 3 by 3 size. Zaytzechos, this little tzilzil cotton, a bendela, is less than 3 by 3. Are you going to tell me that therefore there's a machloikis between Rav Amar Rav Chizda and Rav Yehuda Bered Rabbi Chia? Should you know? Shani tzilzil cotton de choshev. And as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, Rav Amar Rav Chizda was not really addressing Rabbi Yehuda Bered Rabbi Chia. He was addressing Rabbi Yochanan. So therefore says the Gemara, Rav Amar Rav Chizda is not arguing with Rabbi Yehuda Bered Rabbi Chia. What he's saying is, if he had just regular, normal piece of clothing, less than 3 by 3 is gunish, more than 3 by 3 has chashivas. Barry's thinking to himself, where do we find that 3 by 3 etzbois has chashivas? The gavia beged that belongs to an oni, that since right. It's 3 by 3, it's makabel to right. By an osher. Right, an osher with 3 by 3 tvachim, by an oni 3 by 3 etzbois. So you see that in other realms of halacha, 3 by 3 etzbois has a chashivas, legabe hilchas tumah v'tahara, legabe and ani. If it's less than 3 by 3, it's considered to be a throwaway, and therefore it's not even the kabbal tumah, it's gunish mit gunish, it's zero. So here too, says the Gemara, says Rav Amar Chizda, if you're talking about a regular piece of clothing, a piece of fabric, if it's more than 3 by 3, yitr begodim. Says, however, the Gemara, it could be that even Rav Amar Rav Chizda would agree that that's if you're just talking about regular cloth. However, if you're talking about a tzilzil cotton, a bendela, so Gemara does is choshev. That's already a choshev bizar. Doesn't tell us exactly what the chashivas is. Could be that this is chvais. It's embroidered with gold thread or something. Anyway, something that makes it much more precious, and therefore even Rav Amar Rav Chizda could agree that it would be Yitr Begodim. Not necessarily is there a Machlekes. Lishnachren. Now we have a second Lashon. Amrila. Amar Rav Yehuda Bered Rabbi Chia. Say Mandiyam. Said Rav Yehuda Bered Rabbi Chia. Gemi. Aval Tzilzil Cotton is Choytzeit. Rashi says that Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei Rabbi Chiya is exactly the same halacha, same man diyomer as before. There's a slight change in the Loshen HaGemara, because the first Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei Chiya said, here it says it's choytzeitz. Says Rashi, once again the Gemara is being a little bit imprecise, because since we're talking about on the finger, that's the whole discussion of that Mishnah, the Koin Shaloka be'etzbo'oi. By definition, on the finger, typically there is no chatzitza issue. Therefore, says the Gemara, says Rashi, the word choytzeitz is like we said before, it really means here yiter begotten. That being the case, Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei Chiya is exactly the same, the first Lashon and second Lashon, no difference. What he's saying is, you don't have a loishan, that you're allowed to wear the gemi in the Beis HaMikdash, and you don't have a refuah issue, because ain't shvus b'Mikdash, that's only a gemi. But once you're wearing a tzitzil cotton, forget about the refuah Shabbos issue, you have a yitr begodim issue, because it's so nice, this tzitzil cotton, it's like wearing a fifth beget. Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Now, Rabbi Yochanan, before, all he said was that there's no such rule of Yitzhak Begodim by a Mokkim, which is not a Mokkim Begodim. So if you're putting it on the left finger, for instance, in other words, a finger of the left hand, no problem, because there's no Chatzitza problem, as well as, since it's not a Mokkim Begodim, you don't go and put Exonis or a Mikbas, etc., on a finger. So, no problem. It was Rabbam Reb Chizda that said it depends on whether it's 3x3 or not. Says our Gemara, according to the second Lashon, Rabbi Yochanan says the same as Rabbam Reb Chizda according to the first Lashon. Rabbi Yochanan, le'omr chatzitza b'pachad misholish al sholish. Ela b'mokim b'godim. Avshalim b'mokim b'godim sholish al sholish choytetzais. And again, the term choytetzais, when you're talking about shaloi v'bokim v'godim, is inappropriate. Rather, you're talking about that there is no din of yiter v'godim, or there is a din of yiter v'godim. So the Gemara, as you see, uses this expression of choytetzos somewhat imprecisely. If you're talking about in a situation of mokim v'godim, then you have a chatzitza issue. But if it's a shaloi v'bokim v'godim, it's only a potential yiter v'godim issue. So Rabbi Yochanan of the second Lashon says, like Rav Amr Chizda of the first Lashon, Le'amr Chatzitza v'pachad misholish al shalosh, when you have anything less than 3x3 fabric, when's the potential of Yitr Begodim, Ela Bemokim Begodim? Where you're supposed to put a regular beged, if you were to go and add another beged of 3x3, number one, you'd have a Yitr Begodim, and number two, if it's in a place where there should be your regular beged, like your ksoinus, and it's underneath the ksoinus, well then in fact you do have a chatzitza. Avishalom mokim begodim, once you leave the mokim begodim area, and now you're talking about fingers and back of hands, which is shalom mokim begodim, then sholish sholish choytetzais, or sholish sholish is a yitzer begodim, pachas mikan, less than 3x3, there is no din of Yitur Begodim. And says the Imara, Vahainu, if you remember what we said according to Rav Amr Rav Chizda, according to the first Lashon, this is exactly what Rav Amr Rav Chizda said before, and the Rav Amr Rav Chizda is the same in the second Lashon as well. So the second Lashon is a little bit easier, if you will, than the first Lashon, where there you had three separate deos of the Amiroim, Yehuda Rebbe Bchia, that distinguished between Gemi and Tzitzil cotton. He had Rabbi Yochanan that said, Shaloi Mokim Begodim, Loi Havi Yitr at all. And then Rabbi Rebbe Bchia said, it depends whether it's 3x3 or less than 3x3. According to the second Lashon, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Amr Bchia are saying the same. Even though they're both saying the same, says Yimar, but there might still be a difference. Zok Yimar, first, now that we concluded Rabbi Yochanan, behind the Rav Amr Chizda, that's the same Rav Amr Chizda, the difference between more than 3x3 or less than 3x3. But it says, Yimar, Lema Pliga ad Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei de Rabbi Chiya. Now, who's the Lema Pliga? The Lema Pliga is not going on Rabbi Yochanan, but rather it's going on Rava. What do you mean it's not going on Rabbi Yochanan? Says Rashi, because it's a Dabar Poshet that Rabbi Yochanan is arguing with Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei de Rabbi Chiya, because according to both Lishoinois, Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei de Rabbi Chiya is saying, I don't care where it is, the mokim begodim, shloim mokim begodim, gemi is insignificant. But tzilzel cotton is a dover choshuv, and therefore it's considered to be yitor begodim. Tzilzel cotton have a yitor begodim. What did Rabbi Yochanan say? According to the first lashon, shaloi b'mokay begodim, there's no such concept of yitor begodim. According to the new Rabbi Yochanan, he's saying shaloi b'mokay begodim only if it's 3x3 or more, and not if it's less than 3x3. Since Rabbi Yochanan is directly addressing Rabbi Yehuda Barei de Rabbi Chia, he's saying to me, Rabbi Chia, I respectfully disagree with you. Since it's tzilzul cotton by definition is less than 3x3, it is not a yitur begodim. You want a yitur begodim? It's got to be more than 3x3. So therefore, says Rashi, clearly Rabbi Yochanan argues, that's why he comes in this daf, to say, I disagree with Rabbi Chia. The question is whether Rava Amar Rav Chisda also disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda de Rabbi Chia. Now you say to yourselves, he must, because since Rav Amar Rav Chisda and Rabbi Yochanan, according to the second Lishna, hold exactly the same thing, if you're telling me that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda de Rabbi Chia, then Rav Amar Rav Chisda also must disagree with Rabbi Yehuda de Rabbi Chia. So, Frank Tamar, Lema Pliga, would you say that Rav Amar Rav Chisda argues at Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei de Rabbi Chia? Says Himar, not necessarily. Because Rabbi Yochanan, when he came on the scene, he came to directly oppose Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei de Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei de Rabbi Chia says, Rabbi Yisai, Gemi is okay, but stay away from tzilzel cotton, because that's Yitra Begodim. Says Rabbi Yochanan, I respectfully disagree. Where do you put such a tzilzel cotton, a bendela? By definition, on a finger, on the back of a hand. That is not a mokim of begodim. So don't even talk about yitur begodim, according to the first Lishna. And according to the second Lishna, yes, there is yitur begodim, but only under the exceptional circumstance when you have a large piece of cloth, at least 3x3 etzbois. Anything less than that, a tzilzel cotton is taka cotton, says gunish med gunish. So clearly, Rabbi Yochanan comes to disagree with Rabbi Chia. The question is, what was the Rav Amar Rav Chisda's intent? Rav Amar Rav Chisda, although he says the same thing as Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Chia, the Gemara is assuming that he was not addressing Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Chia, but rather he was saying, generally, what's the halacha? Rav Amar Rav Chisda says, not in Mesechtes Erevin, not in Hilchis Shabbos Medgemis, rather he said, we're talking about Big Dekahuna. If it's so the question is, if Rav Amar Rav Chisda heard what Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei de Rabbi Chia said, what would he hold? Would he agree or whether he would disagree? So on the surface, he disagrees. He says it's got to be 3 or more. Zoktimara, Leima Pliga Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Chia, Zoktimara Nishkarayim, Shani Tzilzil Katan de Choshev. It could very well be that regular fabric, you're talking about a minimum of 3x3 etzbois. But you're talking about tzilzel cotton, which is a davar choshev. Could be that even Rabbi Rav Chisda would agree that that is a yitur begodim. Rabbi Yochanan clearly does not hold that way, because Rabbi Yochanan is addressing Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei Rav Chia, and he's saying, don't tell me tzilzel cotton have a yitur. It's only 3x3, which is a yitur, and not anything less. So bottom line is, Rabbi Yisai, it's something unusual that according to the second Lashon, even though Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Amar Rav Chisda are saying the same halacha of the 3x3, since Rabbi Yochanan is directly addressing Rabbi Yehuda Rav Chia, who's talking about the tzilzel cotton, have a yitur, and Rabbi Yochanan says, with all due respect, it's got to be 3x3 or more. Clearly he argues that since Rav Amar Rav Chisda is talking by Hilchos Big De Kahuna generally, and he's saying 3x3 or more is a yitur begodim shaloi b'makom begodim, it could be that if he were to be asked, and what do you say about a tzilzel cotton? Tzilzel cotton, that's an exception to the rule, because that's a davar choshev. So even though it's less than 3x3, it's also yitur begodim. So So since we've concluded the two Lishonos, and now we're just coming back to Rabbi Yochanan for a moment, Rabbi Yochanan, my iri gemi l'shmein and tzil tzilkan. Since according to Rabbi Yochanan, not only is a gemi permissible to be worn in the Beis Hamikdash, but even the tzilzil cotton can be worn in the Beis Hamikdash, which is a big, big chiddush, because Rabbi Yehuda Rebbe Chiya says, no, that's asur. You have yitter begadim. So why doesn't the Mishnah Masechtas Eidavin tell us even a bigger chiddush, that koyin shalok betzvoy, koyin chalem, not just a gemi, he can even put a tzilzil cotton on. Why doesn't it say that in the Mishnah? After the Gemara, Miltzavga Urche Kamashvalan, the Gemi Masi. After all, the point of that Mishnah was not a Yitur or Chisur Begodim Gabi Big Tekahuna. The Mishnah is addressing the issue of Refuah on Shabbos. And he's saying, outside the Beis Hamikdash, make sure and don't put on any band-aids, because you might come to Shechichas HaMamonim, and therefore Zera, don't do it. But in the Mikdash, it's okay, because Ein Shvus VaMikdash. Ah, so then the Mishnah has to tell us what we're talking about. If he's going to tell us, you're allowed to go and put on a tzilzil cotton in the Beis Hamikdash, you're telling us, Hilchois Yitr Begodim Legabe Big Dekuna. But you're not going to go and tell us the din of refuah by the Gemi. Therefore, says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yochanan, that's why the Mishnah had to specify Gemi to go and tell you. Wearing a band-aid of a Gemi outside the Beis Hamikdash affords a certain degree of protection to the wound. Adding to that, of course, the samamonim would give a refuah. Oh, you gotta be careful. You shouldn't get into a shchika samamonim issue. Oh, so that's the focus of that Mishnah. So it makes sense to talk about band-aids instead of talking about these nice, pretty bentuch. Okay. And we continue now in Big Dekahuna, and the Gemara asks a series of questions. We know that you're not allowed to have a retia, or what the Gemara just spoke about now, about having the gemi that is mafsik between the koyin's skin and the koyin's big dekahuna. So the ksoinis goes down typically to the wrist. So what happens if you pull up the ksoinis and you find over there that he is wearing something on his skin? So that's what we just spoke about. Even nima achas could be choitzetzes. But instead of having anything on the skin, what happens if you had a draft wind? It was a windy day, and so some wind came in and separated between the sleeve of the ksoinis and the arm of the koyin. Normally, it would be lying on it pretty well. And here, because of that draft, there is an ear space in between the beged and between the arm of the kohen. Ma, al-psori b'inan, the Torah says that you have to go and wear the big de kahuna on psori. If you look at oiz gimel, v'lova shakoyin midayvad, mechlas avad, yilbash al-psori. What do you need yilbash al-psori? Where else are you going to wear it? Yilbash means you go and wear it on your body. You don't go and wear mechnasayin on top of your table, you put it on your body. So of course it's al-bsari. So what does al-bsari mean? L'chayr means it has to be on the skin, on the flesh of the individual. Valeka, you have this draft, and there's a body of ear, an ear pocket in between. Come on, give me a break. I mean, you don't talk about that every single beged is like glued to the person's skin. There's always a certain amount of ear pocket between the actual beged and the skin. Sometimes more, sometimes less, depending on a drafty day or not a drafty day. So l'choira, that's not a problem. So that's shayla number one. Shayla number two is kina mal shetochet. A kina is the singular form of kinim that we have in the Torah by the Makas in Mitzrayim. And kina means in English, it's a louse, L-O-U-S-E. The question is, if chas v'sholom, the koyin has a louse on his body, which is walking up and down, is that a chatzitza between the body and between the big de kahuna? Mao shetochet. So the more mesa, if it's dead, leiti boilach the body chaitza. No question that that's chaitzitz. Get it out, otherwise it's chatzitza for the big de kahuna. Chayimai, what happens if you have a labid dikka? It's a live louse. If Shelley were here and saying something, he would say that's a pretty lousy situation, right? Would you say that, Shelley?
He's gone. He's gone.
Because he doesn't want to deal with lousy situations. Anyway, so the point is, if you had a chaitza chaya, my. Me amrin kiv the osami ozla rabbi sihi v'loy chaitza. Now, when I originally learned osavi ozla, I thought we're talking about the louse. That louse is constantly going up and down the skin. So that's, rabisa, that's its normal mahalach. Rabisa means it's like its normal, life. That's its lifestyle. It goes back and forth. However, when Rashi is mashma, we're not talking about the louse, we're talking about the person. And this tells us a little bit about how our society is a little bit different than years ago. Nowadays, most people take a shower at least every day, or every second day, every third day, or whatever. So lice is not a common problem nowadays, at least not in... I'm sorry?
Lice are quite a problem in Yerushalayim in the schools.
Is that right?
The schools don't deal with them like they do in America. They don't send kids home. I know my grandchildren, they come, they have lice all the time, it seems. And they don't just walk around the body, they live in the hair. They get in the hair. Which begs the question, so anything between the bigot and the body, you might say someone's very hairy, Cohen's very hairy, might be a problem too.
Well, since Igmar doesn't ask that issue, we're going to talk about a little bit later down what happens if a Cohen has long hair, which is chotzeitz, between the ksonis and his neck.
They need to cut every month.
That's true. We're going to talk about that briefly as well. But the question is, regular body hair that a person has on his chest, so that the Gemara assumes is not a chatzitza because that's normal. However, something abnormal, the question is about these kinim. So the Gemara is telling us that unfortunately, at that time, many people experienced having lice going up and down their body on a regular basis. Not that they were happy about it, but that was kind of the standard that people lived with at the time. And therefore it's not a chatzitza, because just like people have body hair, they have body lice. Oydil mekim de kapar Allah, obviously, person doesn't like the lice, and when he gets a chance, he's going to jump into a pool, a lake, a river, under a shower to get these lice off. So since he has akpada, maybe it is chaitza after all. Next thing is, offer maushiyachot, if a person has some sand or dirt on his body, would that be a chatzit? Says Mark, if you're talking about real offer, real sand, real dirt, varichait. El avak offer ma. What we're really talking about is dust that comes up from soil. If you're quite digging in your garden, some dust comes up, which may even be imperceptible. You don't even realize that it's there. So the question is that considered to be a chatzit? Beit Hashechim mahu. Shiyochetz al psari b'inan v'holeka. Oidim derech levisha bekach. What means a beis hashachi? You have, of course, people are wearing the big dekuna. The big dekuna doesn't go all the way up into the armpit. It's the way all shirts and all undershirts are manufactured, so that it goes, it does certainly go up the sleeve, and it goes up partially up the body, but it doesn't go into that hollow of the armpit. At least most begotten do not. So the question is, what would you say the ear pocket in the Beis HaShechi, in that ear pocket, in the underarm, where you have, where people go and spray with deodorant and stuff like that. Question is, since the beggar doesn't go all the way up over there, would you say that that ear pocket is itself a chatzitza? Maushiyochetz, al-bsari be'inan v'aleka, since the beggar doesn't go there, so then you don't have a beggar on all of his basar. Some of his basar doesn't have beged, but rather has ear pockets. Oy, dilma derech levisha b'kach. Come on, give me a break. That's the way people wear their begotim. They don't work all the way till the top over there. Hichnas yod l'toychei koy ma'u. What happens if the koyin, during the avoid at one point, put his hand into the cheik, in other words, underneath one of the clothing? Yeah, you have a problem. He has to go and wash his hands now because of the makam mechusa. But we're not focusing on that problem. We're focusing on, would you say that that's a chatzitza if he's doing the avoida, and if he has his hand under his ksoinus or something similar, is that a problem of gufa michayetz? Because after all, it's his own guf. Therefore, you have min b'minoi ene chaytzitz. Or do you go and say, no, it is, do you say it is a chatzitza, or do you say it's not a chatzitza? There's a famous tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak. Minchas Yitzchak was Dayan Weiss, who was the Rosh Beis Din in Yerushalayim, and the previous, the current one, is Rav Sternbuch, before him was Rav Tuvia Weiss, and before that was Rav Yitzchak Weiss. Rav Yitzchak Weiss was a very great Talmud Chacham, and you have Tshuvas, 8 or 9 or 10 volumes of Minchas Yitzchak. One of the most fascinating Tshuvas, it's bad news and good news, as you will hear in a moment. We have a Baal Tshuva who, Baruch Hashem, became a Baal Tshuva, and now started wearing tefillin every day. But as it's very common in our woke society, lots of people have tattoos over their bodies. And I don't have to tell you, a tattoo is very difficult, if not impossible, to remove. And he, unfortunately, this Baal Tshuva, had a picture of a lady who was not properly attired on the mukam of his muscle. Of course, from his pre-tshuva days. The question is, he asked Diane Weiss, can he go and put his bias of his tefillin on the muscle part, on the biceps? Isn't it a tremendous bizoyan that right underneath that you have a, not a picture, but an engraving, a tattoo of a woman that wasn't properly attired? So now if you're going to go and tell me, well, let him put it on top of his sleeve, as we know that would be a chatzitza. And therefore, what are you going to go and do? So he came up with an ingenious idea. He said what you should do is take a graft of that person's own skin from his lower leg, take off a piece of skin, and go and graft it on top of the tattoo to cover it up, so that it will now be really covered up. Ah, you don't have a chatzitza. Min deminoi, since it's his own skin, it's not choitzitz, and therefore you can go and put the tefillin on top of it. An ingenious answer to a... it's an unfortunate question that Nebuch didn't have such tattoos, but it's fortunate this person became a Baal Tshuva, so we should all be celebrating and we should be very happy. Anyway, I don't think that that's permissible. It's got to be Yad Kei, it's got to be on the left. I understand. Okay, you have the Chai L'Chas Hashem, what happens if your arm is banded? You have a bandage on it because you have a cast on it because it got broken or something. Can you put on the right arm? Not. Speak to your competent Orthodox rabbis. But getting back to our Gemara now, so the question is, he put his hand underneath one of his big de kahuna, so now you have potentially chatzitza between the beket and his body. Freitimor, is that a chatzitza, yes or no? Nima ma'u shetochet. Nima, again, is a thread in between the beget and his body. We already addressed that earlier, where we said that if it's b'mokim b'godim afila nima achas chaytzetzes. So what is the Gemara adding over here? So it's Gemara, nima ma'u shetochet. Nima vadi chaytze. We said that already before. A thread, avada tzachetzitza. El nima medoldeles ma'u. What happens if you have a thread which is dangling from the big dikahuna? Not that this is an isolated thread, an independent thread, I should say. It's a thread which is dangling from the big dikahuna itself. Well, you know, almost every person from time to time, you'll tell him, oh, there's a thread sticking out. It's a thread from the beggar that he's wearing, and that's, you know, like the Gemara said before, maybe that's urcheyu, maybe that's not a chatzitza. All of these shaitas that the Gemara opposed are iboyis loy ifshita, the Gemara is not poishit any of them, so presumably, meheri yibona beis migdish, unless somebody will be poishit them, you'll have to be machmir, that we shouldn't have any of these chatzitzas.
Many of the shyness are by nature. I mean, the Torah was not given to Malachi, it was given to Bnei Adam. Bnei Adam cannot avoid this. I mean, why can we be patient that wind or things that are unavoidable and happen beyond the will of the Kohen, which he cannot avoid, is kosher?
We normally say things, what you're saying is a very, very good point. In each one of these cases, the Gemara is assuming that there is some sort of takana that could go and fix it. Let's, for instance, that last case we just talked about, that you happen to have this dangling thread. So you're saying, Torah was not given to Malach and Malachi, sure, it was given to Bnei Adam. But there's a very easy answer, and that is take a scissors and just cut the dangling thread off. So you don't have that problem.
What about the wind? The wind you cannot avoid.
That's true. There presumably are people that are a little bit more heavy and people that are a little bit more skinny. And so therefore, though it happens to be a drafty day, so if a person who's skinny, the draft comes in and you have such a ear pocket. But someone who's a little bit more robust, presumably he's not affected by that wind. So we'll tell him, you do the avoider. Or we'll tell the first kohen, take a smaller size for today, because obviously this one is problematic because you have the ear pocket. So when there's a tikkun or a takana, we allow them. Okay?
What refers to the previous draft, that if there is a spot on the big dekevona, the avoid is possible. How was it possible to avoid blood by shchita and all the activity in the mizbeach, not to have a speck of blood in the big dekevona? How was this humanly possible?
My understanding is that the Gemara only said yesterday has to midoivad. The Gemara didn't tell us exactly what the length was. It said that if it's too long and it's schlepping on the ground, no good.
Not a length, spot.
No, I understand what you're asking.
Spot.
I hear you loud and clear. Most of the spots would come because of the bottom of the xoinus. He's walking on the floor, and then if there's an accumulation of blood, theoretically you could get blood on the bottom. You're just saying is, what happens if you get blood on the beggar itself, in the middle, the chest, and the stomach?
You saw a shaykhah that should not get a speck of blood when he works, even with chickens, koshkem with gasoys.
What you're saying is very, very good. Note, if you look at the top line on every one of the amudim, kol hazvochem shekiblu daman. And then the Mishnah explains, we have a whole list of the Zorim, the Oinenim Chusr, Begodim, etc.
Yeah.
Why do we start Shekiblu Dam? Why do we start from the Shechita? Because all the people enumerated in the Mishnah are kosher for Shechita. Shechita is even Mutter Bazar. So even if he has 18 spots on his Big Day Kahuna, he could use them if he is Shechting, because he's no worse than if he was a Zor that was Shechting. From the time of Kabbalah Saddam, he'd have to be more careful. You're right. If you're not careful with your Kabbalah Saddam, you're standing too close to the Mokum Shechita, you could also get drops that spritz on you. Presumably what the Kohen would have to do is quickly call out, who was it, Repinchas, who was the head of the Begodim? He would have to call whoever was in charge and say, please, give me a brand new beggar because this one got spotted and I have to go and change. But anyway, you're right, you'll have to be careful. No question. So continue on to the Gemara. Boy Reb Zeira, Tefillin Maushi Chaitzer. What about the din of Tefillin? Now, the Tefillin could be potentially a Yitr Begodim problem. It could also be potentially a Chatzitza problem, assuming that the Tefillin would get in the way of the Migbas. And I know all of you are thinking to yourself, isn't there a famous Gemara that the Kohen Gadol had room between his Mitznefes and between his Tzitz? There was some Seyar, a place on the top of the head that you can go and put tefillin on. And what you're saying is absolutely correct, and that's the last line of the Amud Aleph. But we're not there yet. At the moment the Gemara wants to know, what's the status of tefillin? Is it a chatzitza issue? Is it a yitra begodim issue? Boy Reb Zeh, tefillin ma shechotzi. Aliva man the Omar lai lavzman tefillin hu loy tiboylach. Although we paskin that miyomim yomima, that you only wear tefillin during the day, you don't wear tefillin at night. But in fact, it's a machloikis in the Gemara. So according to the Yoma that holds Laila, loves man tefillin, which is way we hold, leitiboylach. Then there's no shaila. Why is there no shaila? Kimin the Laila chaitzi, Laila it would be considered an extra beged. I know you're thinking to yourselves, why would the kahana be wearing the big de kahuna at night? Isn't the Beis HaMikdash closed for service at night? And the answer is no. It's closed for service for people that want to go and bring karbanos. Karbanos you can only bring during the day. And the final karban, of course, is the Tomei Shulbein HaBayim, unless it's Erev Pesach. Then the Karban Pesach is the last one. But otherwise, you can't bring karbanos. But the Kehanim very often were busy the whole night with the Hector Chalovim Ve'Evarim. And that's the first Mishnah in Masechtas Brachos, right? Hector Chalovim Ve'Evarim is kosher kol halayim. So the Kahanim were busy and they have to wear the Big Tikkunah for that purpose. Okay, if they were wearing tefillin at night, Mr. Lyle loves man tefillin. So therefore, why are you wearing this? Take it off. So therefore, it would be considered, quote unquote, a chatzitza or yitra begodim because it's inappropriate to wear that at night. So if you're going to tell me, keep the Lyle chaitzi, then yoinami chaitzi. Once it's a chatzitza or yitzu begodim, at night it would be for the day too. Why would we say automatically for the day as well? Rashi says, the imloi kain, if you're going to go and tell me it's only possible at night and not during the day, matzino avoidis laila chomer b'avoidis yoin. It would come out that the rules and regulations governing night big day kohuna would be more chomer than the rules and regulations governing day, because you're saying that at night you could go and wear at night if you wore the tefillin it would be a yitzur begodim, but not during the day. So how could it be that night should be more chomer than avoidis yoin? So that cannot be. So kiti b'alach, where is the shaila? Man yom alayla zman tefillin. Oh, you can wear the tefillin 24 hours a day, even at night. My mitzvah the gufei chayit. Since it's a mitzvah, the gufei that he has to wear on his body, so it's a chayit, and it's also yitzur begodim. Oy loy chayit, would you say no? Igal gamut zomot al kami derabami omalei talmud oruch ubiyadena. We have a befeidish talmud oruch, meaning we have a kabbalah. Tefillin choydetzayis. Do not wear your tefillin, Rabbi Tzai. Don't wear your tefillin in the Beis HaMikdash when you're doing the avoyah. Frey Timur Azoy, tefillin choydetzayis. Meisvei, chihan babidosan, livyim beduchan, yisrael b'mamotan. This is the time that kabbonis are being brought, the kehanim are doing the avoyah. The levim are the duchan, the shiram u lezimram. The yisrael b'mamotan, we know that the Yisraelim were divided up also into maimodos, so that they would be standing there when the Korban Tamid was being brought every day, because they were the shluchim of Klal Yisrael, so they were standing there b'shas the korbanos were being brought. All three of them, Kehanah Levim Yisraelim, peturim min ha-tefillah u-min ha-tefillin. They're parted from tefillah, from davening at that time, and they're parted from wearing tefillin at that time. So what do they have to do? They have to daven or put on tefillin either before or after, depending on the time of day. Zokti Mara, my love, it sounds like that they're all three together, Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, all in the same parsha, and we're saying that im hinichon einon choytetzayis. It all says this is pturim, they're potter from wearing tefillin. But what happens if somebody wants to be super from and he wants to wear his tefillin? Sounds okay, you can, you're just potter, you want to? Sounds like in choydetzayis. Tutu like. Eminichan is choydetzayis. You coin, if you're going to go wear it, you have a yitr begodim or chatzitza potential problem. It should say asur mi boile. Why does it say that they're potter? It should say that it's asur to wear the tefillin because you have an extra beged, or maybe it's choydetzayis by the mikbas, the hat that they wear on top of their heads. And for the Gemara, you're right. By Kohanim, the terminology should in fact be tefillin choytetzayis, and therefore asur. However, kim deik leviim Yisrael tuloi misnulei asur. By leviim Yisrael, you couldn't go and say that this is either a chatzitza or yitr begodim. They're not Kohanim. They're not wearing big day kahuna. So therefore, the whole inyan of a chatzitza metabege metayitr begodim is totally inappropriate. So for them, we could just say pturim. Therefore, mishemachi ton ptur. Freikim of Atanya, we have another brisa imin yichon einon choytetzayis, that if they wear it, it's not a chatzitza after. What do you mean? We just said a moment ago, right before this meisvei, we said tefillin choytetzayis, and here you're saying tefillin einon choytetzayis. Make up your mind. It depends whether you're talking the tefillin shel yad or the tefillin shel roish. What's the teretz? Ma'ishna diyad chsev yubash al psoray. It says by the big day kahuna, we quoted this passage before, it's got to be directly on the skin. If you put your tefillin on, it's a chatzitza between the arm and the ksoinus, which goes down the arm as a sleeve. Okay, that I can understand. So how do you have, isn't it a chatzitza problem? You have to put the mitznefes, you have to put the tefillin. How can you have the two together? Says Maratana, don't you remember? You learned the Braisa. Sarah Yanira Bain Tzitzl Mitznefes, that the Kohen Gadol had Seir, he had hair, or even if he didn't have any hair, but at least he had the bald spot where the hair normally would grow, between the tzitz and the mitznefes. In other words, mitznefes is not like modern day hats that cover onto the forehead. It was receded, similar to our yarmulkes, which 90% of the yarmulkes do not go all the way to the hairline, but they somewhat receded in front of the yarmulke. You can go and put your tefillin. So bottom line is it chaytzitz or not chaytzitz? Says Yimara, it depends. Tefillin shel yad is chaytzitz because you're putting it under your sleeve of the ksoinis. That's chaytzitz. However, there is room to put both the mikbas and the tefillin at the same time, and therefore that is not chaytzitz. And therefore the Gemara apparently concludes that, I'm sorry?
Can you worship Rosh without Shirim Yad?
According to our Gemara, and they're not recommending it, but were you to do it, if you're just wearing the Shel Rosh, you would not have a problem of Chatzitza. Okay? And top right.
Excuse me, was it only the Kohen Gadol who wore Tefillin Shel Rosh? And the Kohen Hedu did not?
It so appears because you'd have to ask a Talmudic genius like Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal, is there any other Gemara, Mishnayis, Tisefta, whatever, that refers to Kohen Hedu? To my knowledge, you only have the reference to the Kohen Gadol that he had this spot. I don't recall any Mishnah or Braisa dealing with the Kohen Hedu. Of course, for me, it's Mishka Gris Arach. Yes. 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 The Arkad said, to my knowledge, my recollection is that the Rambam considers the mitzvah of tefillin as two separate mitzvahs. So even if a person cannot put on a tefillin shilyad, for instance, because maybe he doesn't even have chas shalom, an amputee doesn't have arms, or he has a cast on, or he lost his tefillin shilyad, you're supposed to put in your tefillin shilroish anyway. And the story is told about the Yidden in the concentration camps that were Moise Nefesh. They only had Nebuch one bias with the two batim. They wore that bias. Of course, that's no riot. They tried to do the best they could under these difficult circumstances. But to my understanding, yes, you're Yoitza the mitzvah of Tzulin Shorosh, even if you cannot be Yoitza the mitzvah of Tzulin Shoyat. Okay, Bruchim Tia. Zokti Moravaita. We have the next case in the Mishnah is Mechusa Kippurim. He's also possible to do the avoid. Minolan, how do I know? Amravuna, Amakra, Mechipra, Lehakoyim, Tahira, Tahira, Mechlal, Shehid, Temeya. What is this referring to? What it's referring to is that a Yoledis, after the 40 days are over, or after the 80 days, depending on a Zohar and a Keva, has to go and bring a carbon. And so the Pasuk says he's supposed to go and bring a Shepsala, but in Leisimtzi Yoda, they say she doesn't have enough money. She brings two doves, the two pigeons. Now she gets her full tahara, Rabbi Yisai. What do you mean she got her full tahara? Wasn't she tahara until now? After all, after the end of the 7th or the 14th day, she went to the mikveh. And then from 7 until 40, or from 14 until 80, during that period of time, she was known as a tvulas yoim oruch. And now, after Herif Shemesh, after the end of the 40th day, and after the end of the 80th day, so now she's had her Herif Shemesh. Since she had her Herif Shemesh, she can start eating Truma now. But she cannot eat Kodesh. She can't go to the Beis Hamikdash because she's a Mechusa Kippurim. Why does the Torah say that after bringing the Korban with Tahira, she becomes Tahira? Wasn't she Tahira until now? But she had a requirement to go and bring a Korban. Says the Gemara, by the fact that it says now with Tahira, means that until now, even though she had Tevila in the mikveh, and even though she had Harav Shemesh, she's still Temeya. Not big term Temeya with a capital Tess, but a Bissel Temeya. Oh, so you see from that, she's Temeya, and Tomei, we already learned early in our parak, says Rashi, V'yinozer mikodshe. Stop the Bnei Yisrael, that you learn the din of a Tomei passes the Avoida. Here too, Mechusa Kippurim passes the Avoida. Vaitev Shlei Rochas Yadayim Raglayim. Every kohen has to go and wash his hands from the Kior every single morning when they come in. If they don't wash the hands from the Kior and they do the Avoida, Chas V'Sholem, they passel the Avoida. Toner Rabbanan, not Toner Rabbanan. How do I know? As Yechuka Chukam Mechusa Begodim. We learned this already yesterday at the top of the Amid Aleph and Yitches Amid Aleph. We learned it from the din of the Mechusa Begodim. There were three chukas altogether. What were the three chukas? We had by Shtuya Yain Yain Fesheikhar Al Teisht. Veloy Samusa Chukas Oilum Dari Sechem. That was one chukah. By the Big Dekunitz of Chagar to Oysam Avneit. v'hoyselahem kahuna lechukas oylam. And then we had by rechitzit yadayim v'raglayim v'rochat zu yadayim v'raglayim v'lo yamusu v'hoyselahem chok oylam loy lezarei ledoy roisam. And the Gemara concluded at the end that I learn all three from one another. The Brisa said shalayach like, don't distinguish between the three. And ultimately we learn the shtuya yayin and the rechitzit yadayim v'raglayim from the din of the mechusar begodim, that just like mechusar begodim, it says vahisalem kahuna. You gotta wear your uniform. You gotta wear your big kahuna. Otherwise, you're a czar, said Rashi back on Yitzayin Amud Beis, and therefore you're a czar. You passel the avoider. Oh, and that's a chukas oyim. That's a choik forever. From that, I learned brachas yadayim ragleim v'lo yamus. So they have to go and do rechitz yadayim ragleim. Why vahisalem chok oyim chuka chuka? So I know here too. They passel the avoid. Okay, Zotimar. Tan Rabban. Koyin Godo Shloi Tovu Shloi Kiddush Bein Beger Beger Bein Avoid El Avoid Avi Avad Avidosei Ksheira. This was, of course, the discussion on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we know that the Koyin Godo had to go and switch his begotten five times, and in between each one of the changes in clothing, he had to have one tefillah and two Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. For those of you that were preparing the Gemara yesterday for today, how appropriate that you're learning about Hilchas Yom Kippur and the Avoid of Yom Kippur on Yom Kippur itself. So, when everybody else was doing the Avoid, from time to time, if I was ahead of the pace, I would look into the Gemara, so I was not able to Makayim the Hilchas Yom Kippur. I'm not a Kohen Gadol, I'm not a Kohen at all. But at least, I was able to... What you say in the Kabbonis, whoever's learning the Torah's Oilek Gila Hikrav Oilek, whoever's learning Hilchas Avodas Yom Kippurim, I felt as Ashtikul Kiyum by learning the Halach. Anyway, so getting back to the Brisa. So you have a Kohen Gadol Shloi Tovu Shloi Kiddush Ben Begel Begel. What happens if he did change the Begodim each time from the Big Day Lavan to the Big Day Zahav and Big Day Zahav to Big Day Lavan, but once or twice he forgot the Toivol or he didn't do the Kiddush Adayim Raglai or Ben Avoid Lavoid? The oven he did the avoida, but also ksheira, the dieved it's kusher. He's not a mechusar begodim; he's doing the proper begodim, but he's mechusar rechitzas yadayim v'raglayim. What's the din kosher? However, v'yechad koyin gadol, v'yechad koyin hedrus, lekiddush adam v'raglav shachar is every day of the year. The first thing that the koyin hedrus and the koyin gadol had to do before embarking on any avoida in the Beis Hamikdash, they had to do rechitzas yadayim v'raglayim. If they didn't. V'yavad avidosa psula, and that's the halach of our Mishnah, a coin that's loy rochas daim raglayim, he did the avoid, it's possible. So omli Rabasi li Rabbi Yochanan. Rabasi asked Rabbi Yochanan the following. Mechti, chomish tvilas vasor kiddushin diaraisa. The din of the five tvilas and the 10 kiddush daim raglayim on Yom Kippur, that's min ha-toyra. Toyra says befeirish, he has to keep on switching one to the other, and he has to do rochitz daim raglayim and tvila. How do you know that? There was lengthy discussions in Masechtas Yuma about the Mekoyres for these halachas. V'chuk iksibu, and at the end of the Avoid in Parshas Achrei Mois, if you have Oiz Dalet here of the Torah Ora Shalem, V'oiz lechem lechukas oylam b'chodesh ha-shvi, seventh month being Tishrei, v'oiz lechodesh on Yom Kippur, Tanos nafshiseichem, etc. This is chukas oylam, this is a choyk. That Oislam Chukas Oyl is going on the previous Psukim, which is describing at great length the Kohen Gadol's Avoid of the Beis Hamikdash. So, every time it says Chukah, Li'akva Bahu, we always know that it says in Torah Choik, especially when it comes to Kabbonis, that means that it's Ma'akiv. So why are you telling me in the Braisa that if he's Loi Tovov Le'kiddush Bein Beger is not Ma'akiv? Om Li'omakro Ulevesham. What did it say Ulevesham? Getting back to the Pasuk that we quoted earlier. Ksoin is bad koidish yilbosh. Mechlasevad yob. Sorry, this is all yesterday's laning and yesterday's Yom Kippur avoida. That the Kohen Gadol has to wear the big day lovan. The ksoin is bad koidish yilbosh. Mechlasevad yob. Sorry, vani bad yachim. And that's bad yitznoi. Big day koidish heim. Vrochas psori maime bis psori ulevesham. What's bothering the Gemara is that the word the wearing clothing appears twice in this pasuk. The pasuk begins, "Ksoin is bad koydish yilbash levisha, wear the ksoin is," and then it says at the end, "Baruch v'mayim v'spari ulevesha." Why do you have to repeat twice? I know that you're supposed to put these things on as clothing. We already said yilbash. So that double lashon, says Rashi, like you frequently find by kachim, shina lova kosev le'akiv, by the fact that the Torah repeats it twice, that tells you it's me'akiv. What's me'akiv? Levish me'akiv is v'indover achim me'akiv. So therefore, if the kohen gadol doesn't want to switch from the big day lovan to the big day zavan, the big day zavan, the big day lovan, that is ma'akev, Rabbi Yitzhak. That is ma'akev. But Rechitzi Daim Raglayim is not ma'akev in this realm. So this was a teretz that Rabbi Yochanan gave Rav Asi. Says the Gemara, Tzavu Panav. Rav Asi now smiled from ear to ear. He felt that this is such a beautiful limud, really addresses his question on the head, tells us the answer. Ah, lebedik listig freilich. On Malay, Rabbi Yochanan said, one second, Rav Asi. Vav ha'ufse kasfilach. I want you to know, even though what I told you is true, but nevertheless, it doesn't really answer the question fully. It's like writing a vav on a piece of cut wood. Meaning if you chop down a tree, and then you were to write anything on that exposed part of the tree, which was previously part of the tree, you'll see it does not come out very clearly. So you can't really tell. The reason is because you have all of those rings, and of course those rings are presumably to tell you whether this tree is 10,000 years ago, 10,000 years old, chas v'shalom, or it only was planted yesterday. But the point is that interferes with the writing, and what I've given you is really not a fully clear or fully baked answer. Why not? Because yehachid etzafer nami. What you should really do is ask a stira between the Reisha and the Sefer. The Reisha says, if you didn't do all the Tevilas and all of the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim on Yom Kippur, it's Kusha. But what about the first one? Didn't we say that the first one you have to go and do? Otherwise, it's possible. And the Pasuk on Yom Kippur is talking Leveisha. The only thing that matters is wearing the Begadim. The Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is not a problem. What about that very first Kiddush Adayim Raglayim? Why wouldn't that passel the Avodah? So the Gemara is now focusing on this loy ulazaroi. Dover ma'akiv bizaroi ma'akiv boy. Dover shein ma'akiv bizaroi ain ma'akiv boy. Something that's going to be ma'akiv for the children, dusyo. Something that's not going to be ma'akiv for the children, dusnish. So what does it mean to say? Avada on the first, on Yom Kippur, even a harna koyin, the first avoida. What I should say, the first Rechitzi Yadayim Raglayim is absolutely required, like the Braisa says towards the end. Echad Koyin Godel, V'echad Koyin Hedjet, Shlai Kiddush Yadav Raglav Shachris, whether it's on Yom Kippur or throughout the year. Obviously, a Koyin Hedjet would not be typically washing on Yom Kippur. What is he doing in the Beis Midrash? Unless maybe he was an accessory, like the Skan Koyin Godel, maybe he was helping out the Koyin Godel, but typically, this we're referring to every day of the year, the Kohen Gadol, he better wash that first one. Says Rashi, just like every Kohen Hedjet better wash that first Yerchitzi Daim Raglayim, the Kohen Gadol better go and do it, because that's a Dabra Ma'akib Bizarai. That's Ma'akib Boy. But all the others, meaning the rest of the nine Kiddush Daim Raglayim, and all of the Tfilas, that's just a Kohen Gadol din, that's not a Kohen Hedjet din. And especially even by the Kohen Gadol, it's only once a year on Yom Kippur. So that was one teret. Rabbi Yonasan gives an almost identical teret. Rabbi Yonasan Amar Mihacha, V'rach Tzumi Menu, we're talking about the Kiyar, V'rach Tzumi Menu, Moish Baharan Uvanav, Tavah Ma'akiv B'mana, Ma'akiv Boy. Chitzi Daim Raglayim, that's Ma'akiv B'bana, meaning by the Kohen Hedjet, that's Ma'akiv by the Kohen Gadol. Tavah Shein Ma'akiv B'mana, Ma'akiv Boy. If it's not Ma'akiv B'bana, and since none of the banim, as long as they are kaihanim hedyotib, they don't have to do the other nine kiddush adayim raglayim, and they don't do the five tefilos. So since it's not ma'akev by them, it's not ma'akev by the kohen gadol. So now both the Rabbi Yonasan and Chizkiya are both darshaning with the same approach. Each one says loy ulazaroi, and the other case Moshe Baharan uvanav. Davar ma'akiv bezaroi or davar ma'akiv abonav ma'akiv bay. So Frank Timar, Rabbi Yonasan my time liam the Chizkiya. Why didn't he learn the first pasuk like Chizkiya learns? Amalochahu l'doyresu dichsiv. That pasuk is written in the Torah not to teach you a hekish between loy ulazaroi, but rather it's going to tell you that the din of avodas yom kippurim, It doesn't just apply to Har Nekoyim. It applies to all Kehanim Gedoyim throughout history as long as the Beis HaMikdash is standing. So you cannot use that as a loyal Lazare for a Hekish. The Idrach, my time of the Omar, Mehai. Why doesn't the Chizkiya learn like from Yonis and Pasik, Rechav Tzvi, Menem, Moshe, Aron, Vanov? After the morning, boy, he needs that for a different drash. The Kerab Yosef, Rav Chanina, Rav Shem, Rav Chanina. Kol Kir, Shein, Boy, Kedei, Lekadish, Abor, Kehanim, Imenu, Ein, Mekadshim, Boy. What is the minimum size of a Kiyar? The minimum size is to be able to allow four Kahanim to be Mekadish from it at the same time. Shinem, Rechav Tzvi, Menu, Moshe is one, Aharon is two. One of the remaining two, the two survivors, so you have four all together. Yes, we know in the second Beis Hamikdash, we had 13 dudim that were made, I think Ben Cotton, I think, was the one that added the 13 faucets, but the minimum is four. Yes, Barry.
So we're saying that because it's not for the Bonav, it's not Ma'akev, but all Kohanim Gedolim in the future will come from Bnei Aharon. Kohanim
Hedgehog
could be going to Kohanim
Gedolim.
Yes, absolutely. Potentially. So it is, in a way, Ma'akeh in potential. It's not Ma'akeh on that day. It's kind of shady there, if you ask me.
No, you look at the term Zari and think of it as if it says the word Kohen Hedget. And it's saying, Loi Ulazari, the Kohen Gadol is hookish to the Kohen Hedget. Whatever the Kohen Hedget has in Ma'akeh, the Kohen Gadol is Ma'akeh.
Okay,
the Kohen Hedget is only once every single morning. Tana Rabbanan. Now we're getting a little bit into Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. I never understood. Yes, Brother Shai.
Just that we have the Chamesh Tevilos, which it seems hairy, as you would say, that you're the Dama Akev.
Right.
So beforeish.
Mm-hmm. Now that's how our Gemara learns. Halacha L'maaseh, you have to check the Rambam, but that's what it says in our Gemara. It's not Ma'akev. Correct.
Okay.
I never understood this on a practical level. We'll all bang heads together to understand it. You have the kiyar, and they're doing rechitzis yadayim raglayim. The Gemara is learning that since it says in the pasuk v'rochtzim menu aharon moishah aharon avonav es yadayim ves raglayim, and they have another pasuk also talking about yadayim raglayim together, then in fact they have to be simultaneous. Not that you wash first your hands and you wash your legs, for your feet, then it's all got to be at what? It's Tanur Bani. Ketz and Mitzvah Kiddush. How do you do it? Meniach Yodah Yemanis, say Ragabi Ragla Yemanis. The Yodah Asmolis, Ragabi Ragla Asmolis. And you or somebody else turn on the beres, turn on the faucet of the Kiyar, and the water is now going to come down on his right hand, which is on top of his right foot, and on top of his left hand, which is top of his left foot, Umekadish. Presumably he's going to have to pick his hand up at least for a moment so you don't have a chatzitza, unless you hold min b'mino ein choytzit, because you want to have the whole hand and the whole foot l'choyde to have the full benefit of the chitzit yudayim raglayim. Okay, that's a technical point, but that's how you do it. Right hand, right foot. Left hand, left foot. Umekadish. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, no. It's much more acrobatically difficult. Meniach shtei yodav zu al gav zu. He puts one hand on top of the other hand. The Al-Gabi Shtei Raglev Zu Al-Gabi Zu. And he has his 2 feet, one on top of the other, 1 foot on top, not the leg on top of the leg, but the bottom of the foot on top of the second foot. And now he takes his 2 hands on top of those two and puts on the faucet and washes them all simultaneously. Umekadish. Omruloi. So the Rabbanan said to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Hiflagta. Hiflagta means like you're magzim, you're exaggerating. After Lazarus came, you try it out tomorrow, okay? Try it out today. Go into your bathtub, put your 1 foot on top of the other foot, put one hand on top of the other hand, and make sure that the walls and the bathtub are well insulated, that you don't fall, chas v'shalom, or hit your head against the wall, or hit your head against the bottom, against the floor.
You can sit.
That's Gemara's going to ask that. Gemara's going to say, you're not allowed to sit. Anyway, Zuktimur Shapik Amrle, the Chodi is 100% right. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, you have to be, the world's best acrobats. Even Levi tried to go and do Kida, and unfortunately he became lame. He became a hinkadika. You gotta be careful. Om Rav Yosef, the Chaver Messiah, the Gemara asked Shapik Amalei, and the Gemara, the Chaver Messiah. What Rabbi Yosef is saying is that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the way you're gonna have to have it is that his Chaver is gonna have to help him out. Now what means that he's going to help him out? That chas v'shalom, he shouldn't fall over as he is standing and putting the hands and the legs all together, one on top of the other. He shouldn't go and plop along the floor. Therefore, my benai, what's the machloek between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda? This amidim in the tzad means not standing normally, but standing with someone else helping you as your backup, that you shouldn't chas v'shalom fall down because you're all bent over out of shape. You could easily topple over. Make sure somebody's standing around to help you out. That will be the machlokes. I think this was Bill's comment a moment ago. Just sit down in the bathtub or sit down on the floor of the Azara and do the Kiddush Adayim Reglai. Why do you have to be standing? What means the Shareis? If you look at the final pasuk here in the Torah, or Shalom number Zion, make sure they do Rechitzis Adayim Reglai all the Kahanim every morning. Or as they're getting close to the Mizbeach to go and do the Sheiris, the Avoida, Lahakta Ishel Hashem. L'choy, the second part of the Pasuk is unnecessary. The Pasuk could have said, you're going into the Oil Moyed, you're going into the Azara, you're going to do Avoida today, go and wash your hands. What do we need to get close to the Mizbeach? You have to first go into the Oil Moyed, into the Azara. So why does the Pasuk even have to talk about Gishtamal Mizbeach? Oh, it's telling you the Shoris. Just like Sheiris has to be Mu'umid, we had the Gemara before, a Lashon of Amida by Sheiris. Therefore, the Kiddush Adayim Reglaim also has to be Bamida. You might fall over. Have the assistance of somebody else standing nearby, just in case, Chulili, you're going to go and fall. Yeah, so here's a question.
What's Sheiris again?
Sheiris means doing service in the Beit HaMikdash. Okay? The holy Avodas HaKodesh is called Sheiris.
You couldn't have had a portly kohen. Have you ever seen some guys who are overweight, they can't touch their toes? So,
that would be very problematic.
Yeah.
They better go and take medicines or get one of these fancy surgeries. Okay. Tanur Rabbanan. Kiddush Adayim Reglai B'Yoyim. Ein Terech L'Kaddish B'Layla. B'Layla Terech L'Kaddish B'Yoyim Divrei Rabbi. What is this all about? How many times a day does a kohen have to go and Mekaddish Adayim Reglav? So he certainly has to go the first time when he gets into the Beis Hamikdash in the morning to do the Avoida. He has to do one Kiddush Adayim Reglai. If he stays there the whole day and he doesn't go out of the Beis Hamikdash, he's constantly doing Avoida full time, he does not need to do a second Kiddush Reglaim during the day. What about at night? Says Imar, Kiddush Adayim Reglai B'Yoyim, Ein Terech L'Kaddish B'Layla. Even if he goes beyond Shkia, beyond Tzeis HaKachavim, he's doing Hekter, Chalavim, Veivarim, makes no difference. You can rely on that first Kiddush Adayim Reglaim in the morning. It takes care of the whole day, even the evening. Balayla, if however, what happens to the Kohen, did have to go home. He had to take care of something or other. And now he comes back to the Mishmigdash at night to do the Avoida. Balayla, he makes a new Kiddush Adayim Reglaim at this point because he left the Beis Hamikdash. And then what happens if he works the whole night shift into the morning shift? Once it's morning, Tarach L'Kaddish B'Yom, he has to do a brand new Kiddush Adayim Reglaim, even though he stayed in the Beis Hamikdash, he didn't leave, he didn't go to sleep, he has to do a brand new Kiddush Adayim Reglaim. Divrei Rebbe. Now, Rashi says, and this will be important for the Gemara's Teretz later on, it's talking about not necessarily that he continued doing the Avodah the entire time. The important thing is that he didn't leave the Beis Hamikdash, and he was not Mesiach Das in the Beis Hamikdash. In other words, he was in the Beis Hamikdash the whole time, and he didn't take out the Gemara Masechtes Shabbos to start learning Hilchos Shabbos. He was not Mesiach Das from the Avodas Hamikdash the whole time. Zogt, nevertheless, as Rebbe, in the morning you have to do a new Kiddush Adayim Reglai. Why? Rebbe Oima Lina. Lina means the fact that now it's changed from night to day in the morning. Mayelis means Smach Kaliyah. It ruins the Kiddush Adayim Raglaim. You have to do a brand new one. But a blessed Rabbi Shimon Aimer, ain't lina moyav the Kiddush Adayim Raglaim. You can rely on the Kiddush Adayim Raglaim that you did in the evening, even though now it's morning. As long as you didn't leave the Beis Hamikdash, you were not Mesiach Das, you're Yoitze with that first Kiddush Adayim Raglaim. Tani Idach, an almost identical Braisa, Hoye Oimenu Makrav Agam Mizbeach, Kol Alay, the whole night he was being Makrav Al Mizbeach, the Chalovim, the Aymerim, the Padarim, etc. La'oira, now it's daybreak. You see the light coming up. Ton kiddush adayim raglayim dibri rabbi. That's the same rabbi lishitasai. Brand new kiddush adayim raglayim, even though you were working non-stop the whole night. As long as from the beginning, whenever your avoida was, whether it was in the yesterday in the morning or whether it was the night shift, as long as you were constantly doing the avoida, even theoretically up to 10 days, the Gemara probably means that b'derech guzma, because we know from other Gemaras a person cannot be up for more than 3 days straight. After that, a person just is going to collapse and fall asleep. That's why if you make a neder not to go and sleep for 3 days straight, the neder is batul mavutul, you can go to sleep right away, because it's impossible. So how could a person not be mesiach das for 10 days? So mistumah, it's just a guzma. He's trying to tell you, as long as you are doing avoida and you're not mesiach das, no problem, you don't need to do a new kiddush adayim raglayim. Frank, tomorrow...
Do you call on him at night all the time, or why do they lock the doors at night?
Not to allow in any pedestrians, no foot traffic. The Kehanim are doing work to finish off the Avoda Sayon, meaning they had a heavy duty day where there are tons of oilos and tons of other kabbanas being brought, and they just did not have enough time to be makter the chalovim and the aymerim and the vidorim on the mizbeach. So they're busy at night. On those days when there were off days, there was a lot of snow outside. Presumably, most of the Kehanim, you know, left at night, or they went to the Beis Hamikdash to go to sleep because they were no longer busy. Right?
You make an Atzilus Yadayim again?
You make an Atzilus Yadayim like everybody of Klal Yisrael makes in the morning. But you're referring to the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, I'm assuming. And every time you Mesiach Das, even during the day, if you took a lunch break, and during the lunch break you were talking about, you're not going to talk about the Yankees, what you're going to go and talk about is about the drushes of the covered sukkahs now in the Hilchah sukkah, so you mesiach das from doing the avoid, and then you'd have to do a new kiddush yadayim v'raglayim every time you either leave the Beis Hamikdash or you mesiach das. So freiti mor tzricha, what do I have to have the two prices for? The ashvin about kamaisa, the first price become a rabbi to posik lemi avoid el avoid. He taka didn't leave the Beis Hamikdash, but he did make a hefsik between one avoid and the other avoid. So therefore, the kiddush yadayim v'raglayim of the laila doesn't do it for the day. You have to do a brand new kiddush yadayim v'raglayim in the morning. In the second brisa, we said he's talking about oymid makrav al mizbeach kol halayla ganze nacht, and now in the morning he's continuing to do avoida. Oh, you have to do kiddush yadayim raglayim. I was thinking, even wait a later, Rebbe, the rules of Rebbe Shimon. Since he not only wasn't mesiach das, he's been busy for the last 12 hours since 6 o'clock last night until 6 o'clock in the morning. Continue avoida, avoida, avoida. I would say for sure he would agree that you don't have to have a new kiddush yadayim raglayim. The Ashmin and Bahaf would only say the second price of Bahakam Rebbe Lizur Rebbe Shimon. Since it was non-stop avoida, you don't have to do a new kiddush yadayim raglayim in the morning. However, in a case where in the first brisa, where he did take breaks, he wasn't mesiach das, but he wasn't constantly doing the avoda. Tzricha has to go and tell you, it makes no difference. You're mesiach das, nish mesiach das. According to Rebbe, you always have to have a new kiddush yadayim raglayim in the morning. And according to Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon, as long as you were not mesiach das and you stayed inside the Beis Hamikdash, you don't need a brand new kiddush yadayim raglayim in the morning. Why do I keep on talking about leaving the Beis Hamikdash and Mesiach Das? Look at the last Rashi before the wide lines. Last Rashi. Rashi says, Ein etzorech lekadosh b'layla im layotze. The Blazer of Shimon holds, if you didn't leave the Beis Hamikdash, Mesiach Das, and he didn't start dreaming or learning or talking about anything else, you don't need a new kiddush yadayim raglayim. Says Rabbi, no. Even if you were doing the avoda non-stop, so you didn't leave the Beis Hamikdash, you were not Mesiach Das. Nevertheless, lina me'elis, you have to have a new kiddush yadayim raglayim in the morning. Zog Tigmar. There's another few lines here, Boisai. So we have a machloikis here between Rebbe and Rebbe Lozor. Shimon, my time with the Rebbe. Why does Rebbe say you have to have a new kiddush yadayim in the morning? Tachsiv begishtam. If you look at Posig Zayin, Bavoyim oil moyid, oy begishtam el mizbeach. Says Rashi begishtam. Gishtam means each time you approach the mizbeach. So Rashi, that in the morning, since you're putting up a new ma'arocha, every morning they put on the two new logs, the Shtei Gziri Eitzim, and they fixed up the fire for the next day, for that day's Kabbanis. So it's a new Gisha, so to speak. Every morning a new Gishta Mal Mizbeach, you have to do a new Kiddush Daim Raklai. My time, Rabbi Shimon Dechsif, that same passage which you just quoted, starts off, Bivoyim El Oyel Moyim. When you come in the morning, if only if you're coming in. But if you've been there the whole night, you didn't have to come in. You don't have to make a new Kiddush Daim Raklai. So what does each one do with the other one's Raya? Videch Nami Haksif Bivoyim. So what do you do with that Bivoyim? Maybe every single time during the day, the kohen is busy the whole day doing karbanis, but not necessarily is he the whole day next to the mizbeach. He's constantly running around in the azara doing other things. So maybe if he went to the mizbeach at 10 o'clock, and the next time he got to the mizbeach, the next time was 10:30, and the next time was 12 o'clock, maybe each time he gets v'gishtam on the mizbeach, he has to wash his hands again. Now, one time in the morning you come in, that's enough for the whole day, as long as you're not leaving and not mesiach das. Doesn't say begishtam, doesn't that sound like that every morning you should have to go and do a new kiddush daim raglaim, it's a new marocha. If we'll just say the word bevayim and it wouldn't say begishtam, I would say what happens if he comes into the Beis HaMikdash and he doesn't do any avoidah that day. Why didn't do avoidah? They didn't need him. It was one of these days. They had 100 kahanim in the base Mahamud, for instance, and they only needed 20 kahanim because he didn't have too many oidahs, not too many shlamims. It was a kind of an off day. So I would think in Bir Ekonis, you have to wash your hands. Therefore, that's why it says in the Pasuk, Begishtam al Mizbeach, when they're going to the Mizbeach to do the avoidah. Frank Timora, Bir Ekonis, Aksiv L'Shareis. The Pasuk says, Befeirish. You're not going to the Mizbeach with your iPhone to go and take a picture of it, but you're going to do Sheiris, to do the service. So if it's be a reconnaissance, you're off the hook. El Begishtim Boy Levik Rav Rachab Rav Yankov. A different drush. Yom Rav Rachab Rav Yankov, Hakol Moed Mekiddush Sheini, Kishu Lovush Mekaddish. We're going back to the Kohen Gadol once again. We have each time between one set of Begadim, the other set of Begadim, he's doing Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. And he's also doing a tefillah in the mikveh. So therefore each time that you're changing clothes, there's one kiddush adayim raglayim before going to the mikveh, and one coming out of the mikveh. Again, kiddush adayim raglayim. Before going into the mikveh, there's a machloikis, where the kiddush adayim raglayim preceded the kohen's taking off of the begadim, or it succeeded. In other words, he first took off the previous, let's say, big day lavan. After he took them off, then he does a kiddush daim raglayim, and then he jumps into the mikvah. So there's a machloikus, the order of the kiddush daim raglayim. Was it before taking off or after taking off? But hakol moed mekiddush sheini, when he comes out of the mikvah, first kishu lavish, first he dresses himself, puts on the new big day zov or lavan, and only after that he's mekaddish. How do I know the makra? That's how everybody knows that he's already dressed, and now he does the rechitzi daim raglayim. But the pasuk ends off l'sharis lahakta isha l'ashem. What do I need lahakta isha l'ashem lamali? Ma'u the same. When do you have to have the rechitzi daim raglayim? And it's ma'akev, and it's mechaldi avoida hanimili avoida the ma'akva kapara, such as the zrika on the mizbeach. That's a vadi ma'akev kapara. Avoided the ma'akva. We've already spoken a number of times. Lahakter isha is referring to the haktoras ha'aymerin. Haktoras aymer is not ma'akev. We even said by osham, even if it says osham hu. So we wanted to say that maybe hu, if it's shloi bekavana, shloi b'shma, you should say it's possible. No, the whole who appears after Haktoras Eimrin. Haktoras Eimrin itself is not Ma'akev. So I would think that the same thing applies to the Chitzi Daim Raglayim. Then when do you make sure that you're like, Dafke Mila Voidim Akva Kapar? Avoidim Akva Kapar, like Haktoras Eimrin, you do not, you always have to do it. But I wouldn't think that it's Ma'akev the doing it, and it wouldn't be Machal, it wouldn't possible it. That's why the pasuk has to end at the end. No, you do rechitzi yadayim v'raglayim for everything, even for haktara. So, we'll stop over here, Rabbi Yisai, and Amir Tashem.